That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Hi there, and welcome to Grief is My Superpower. I'm Mark Lemon, award-winning children's author, bereavement ambassador, and your host for this podcast. Each week, I'll be interviewing incredible people that get open and honest about their own experience with grief. When I was 12 years old, my dad was murdered, and my life changed forever. I try to explore with my guests if it's possible to live a happy and fulfilled life after the death of a loved one. You can find me as Mark Lemon Official on Instagram and at the Lemon Drop Books website. For this episode, I speak with social media influencer Steph Ellswood. Steph speaks with me about the death of her grandparents and how it shaped her outlook on life. You can find Steph on Instagram and YouTube as Steph Ellswood. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you are listening to this podcast. By doing this, it will help us to reach more people in need of support at a tough time. This podcast is in support of children's bereavement charity, Winston's Wish. Okay, so as mentioned in my introduction, today I'm speaking to somebody that I recently found on via social media, and the way that they tell their grief story is wonderful, and I had to reach out straight away. And it's Steph Ellswood. How are you?
Hello, thank you so much for having me on.
No, thank you so much for agreeing to come on. For those listening, would you be able to just give them a brief introduction as to who you are and what you do and all that sort of stuff, please?
Of course. Well, my name is Stephanie Ellswood, and I am an ex-performer. I trained as a dancer for pretty much my entire life. And in the last 4 or 5 years, I have gone more down the social media route, and I am now a full-time influencer. I am the founder of a sustainable product range called Sustainable, and I also founded a charitable foundation and female empowerment events company about 3 years ago called Stay Sassy.
I guess moving into why we're speaking today, would you be happy to share with the listeners about your own experience with grief, please?
Yeah, of course. Firstly, I also want to say I think what you do is absolutely phenomenal. And I can only imagine how many people you're helping with the people that you interview and also sharing your own story. So it feels very good to be on this podcast, sharing my experience, but also as a bit of a fan as well.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome. But I think my grief experiences have happened for a long time. So I lost my grandpa when I was 9 or 10, and also my great grandma as well. But I feel like I was almost too young to understand kind of what was going on and to really process it. And also because I was so young, my memories aren't as vivid. But I lost my nan, my mum's mum, in 2016. And that was the first time that I'd ever felt completely shattered and broken from grief. And I also lost my granddad during lockdown a couple of months ago, and those feelings came back. And I think that's kind of why I started sharing my grief experience on social media, was because it was that all-consuming emotion that I couldn't really budge. So even if I wanted to talk about other things, it just didn't feel right to. So I think I first experienced grief for the first time probably about 4 years ago.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, I guess one of my questions was about your nana, but she, you know, such a beautiful character, and I really love the way that she kind of got involved with your social media as well, didn't she, in a way?
Yeah, I don't think she fully understood it, but she loved being on the camera when Snapchat was quite big. She had her own little Snapchat following, and people just loved to see what she was getting up to.
How did you find the experience of before she died and being able to enjoy those special memories with her? How did you find that?
I actually loved it. So she moved into our family home because she was suffering with lung cancer. She moved into our family home for about a year, 2 years before she passed away. And they're the most vivid memories I have of her. I think because I did film her a lot, I did get her involved in a lot of social media, and I saved all of those memories. I can watch that back whenever I want to and kind of relive those memories with her. And I think as horrible as it was to see her deteriorate and to kind of get worse and with her condition, it was amazing to get even closer and to have such special memories together. And yeah, like I said, they're the ones that I remember most because I saw her every day for a year or 2 years.
I think that's a really special thing for your family as well, because, you know, a lot of elderly people, or grandmothers, grandparents, they may go into a home or a hospice. And I think it's wonderful that you've had that experience where she's lived with you guys, you know, before she actually died.
Yeah, I know it was hard on my mum, and that was hard to see. But we had some amazing support with her last few months from a hospice that came to do in-house visits. And that also made both my mum's and my experience even better, because we never saw her embarrassed, because they did all of the things that she was embarrassed for us to do, like change her, wash her, feed her and things like that. So again, I'm very grateful for the time I had with my nan, but also so hugely grateful for the hospice that helped us as well.
Yeah, that must have been a lot of help. And I guess moving on to your granddad as well, who more recently passed away. Yeah, I was just wondering how that affected the family, you know, as a broader perspective.
I think they're two polar opposites. So with my nan, her body was going before her brain. So even to her last few days, she was so alert, so witty and charming and cheeky still. Whereas my granddad was the polar opposite. He suffered with dementia now for so many years. I can't remember him without it. And he's always been this storyteller that had so many amazing, funny stories to share. And it got to the point where he'd start to tell one and start to relive one, and then those memories were just stolen, and you could watch his face, his eyes go blank. And that was horrible. And I think because it all happened so fast, like the last time I saw him was just before Christmas, and I hadn't had a chance to see him this year. And then when lockdown hit, obviously I wasn't allowed to see him, but my stepnan was his full-time carer, and she couldn't do it all on her own, especially during lockdown. So he actually went into a home at the beginning of lockdown, and we weren't allowed to visit there because there were so many people at risk. And he just deteriorated so quickly, to the point where it was so soon that it didn't feel real for weeks and weeks and weeks. So I didn't get a proper goodbye, which was really hard. My mum was lucky enough to go into the home to wear all of the face masks and gloves and everything, and actually get to say her last goodbye to him, which I'm really glad, because I think my mum would have been even more heartbroken if she hadn't have had that chance. But in a way, with dementia, there's no cure yet for dementia and Alzheimer's in general. There's things that can maybe delay it a little bit, but there's no cure. And in a way, as bittersweet as it was, him passing away, I'm so glad that he never forgot who I was. So my memories of him are him still being that kind of cheeky chappy, even if he couldn't finish his stories. And I think in a way, as horrible as it was that he's gone, I am glad that my last memories with him, he still remembered who I was.
Yeah, that's really special. And I was going to say that I think this is probably the first time that I've spoken to somebody about a grandparent that's died. But when you think about it, they're such focal points in families, aren't they? You know, specifically for, you know, for us, say, growing up as children, and you know, I remember my grandmother just before she died, and how, you know, it affected me. I was just wondering how over the last sort of few years, it's kind of, has it sort of changed you much as a person? Has your grief sort of given you a slightly different outlook on life?
I definitely think so. I think, I don't want to get too emotional, but you really get a sense of mortality, especially when you're so close to someone. Like my nan, her and I used to speak all the time, every day, especially when she lived here. And she'd always say that her biggest regret in life is never going to Canada. And I don't want to have that. I don't want to get to my last moments and sit with my granddaughter and tell her that I wish I'd done this or I wish I'd done that. And I think in that sense, it's kind of given me that motivation to do all of the things I want to do and follow my dreams, however crazy or ridiculous that might be. So yeah, I think it's definitely changed the way I look at life and how I want to live mine, for sure.
And I think anybody out there who's listening, who's been touched by grief, and they most likely have, it does give you that different perspective on life, doesn't it? And we talk about it all the time on the podcast, how, you know, it just gives you that drive and that sort of, it opens up your mind and just a different view on life that, yes, it is short. So just, you know, just go and do the things that make you happy. I just want to move into, you know, in 2017, you set up the Stay Sassy Foundation to help promote dance and body confidence, but also to raise proceeds for a number of charities. What was the driving force behind setting up this, you know, this amazing foundation?
Yeah, I think it was a long time coming. So, like I said, I trained as a dancer my entire life, and suffered quite a lot with confidence throughout that journey. I suffered on and off with an eating disorder for about, I think it was 8 years. And I just had really, really low self-esteem and self-confidence. And it got to the point where I graduated from dance college. I was 19 and I went to an audition and my confidence was knocked by the casting director again. And I just thought, why am I putting myself through this? Why am I constantly trying to please someone and pretend to be someone else and be a character and do all of this when it's so detrimental to my own mental health? So I actually took a massive step back from dancing. And that's kind of how I went down the social media route. And the more and more I got my nan on social media, the closer her and I got, because we'd have all of these like funny moments that were just us two. And she kind of got a tagline and she'd sign off every Snapchat or every video with "Stay Sassy," because she was just the epitome of sass. And we actually called her the Queen of Sass in the end, because she'd play up to her doctors, she'd flirt with all the male nurses, and she was just hilarious. And we always called her Bouffant Betty because she refused to go anywhere without having her hair blow dried. So we became her personal hairdressers in the end. And it was with a conversation with her when she said to me, "You've always loved to dance. Why do you not dance anymore?" And I told her about this one casting director that really knocked my confidence. And she said, "You're going to let one person stop you from doing what you love. That's ridiculous." And I was like, "Do you know what, Nan?" I was like, "You're so right." And I went to dance classes again and kind of put myself out there and took what my nan said on board and was like, "I'm not going to let one person ruin my happiness." And as I got more confident dancing again, I started posting videos online and people started to comment saying, "I'd love for you to put on a dance class. I'd love to learn how to do this," and all that kind of thing. So I thought, you know what, one day I'd love to put on a dance class that kind of combines everything that I'm passionate about. Obviously, moving your body and feeling comfortable and confident to move in a certain way in heels, but also have an element where I get guest speakers in to talk about topics that young girls and females need to hear and raise money for charity doing so. So it was an idea that I was toying with for a long time. And then when my nan passed away and we got closer and closer with the hospice that cared for her, and the hospice where she actually eventually passed away, I decided that I wanted to do something to give back to them, because I found out only a percentage of their funding came from the NHS and everything else was done with private funding. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to put on this event. It's going to be completely in honour of this hospice. It'll be a one-off event in my nan's honour as well. I'll get in some guest speakers. I'll choose the smallest venue I can find, because I was so terrified that no one would turn up. And I'd never done anything like this. And I was like, this will be for my nan, but for my mum as well, because my mum was really suffering quite badly with grief. And I just thought it'd be a really fun project. So it was actually almost a year after she passed away. I think it was about 10 months after she passed away. And we sold out the tickets in, I think it was something ridiculous, like 15 minutes. There was about 20, 25 places. And we turned up and the venue was perfect. I met all of these women that followed me online that were complete strangers. We had a photo of my nan in the corner. And it was just the most magical day. Like, I can't explain it. It was just getting women into one room and getting them to move in a way that didn't feel natural to them, but to teach them a routine that made them feel sassy, that made them feel sexy and confident. And then they felt safe to share their insecurities, because we'd all been vulnerable during that dance class. And we got to a point where they opened up about their deepest, darkest insecurities, but everyone felt the same and everyone could relate to what everyone said. And it was so powerful. I was just like, we need to do more of these. And obviously I called it Stay Sassy in honor of my nan. and we've now been going for 3 years. The events grew from 25 people to 50 people. Now we get 80 to 100 people at each event. We've hosted a Stay Sassy festival. We've hosted our first retreat. We've gone on tour to Manchester, Devon, and obviously I want to continue to grow that. And it's just now a project that my mum is so involved in, so she feels connected to my nan. I've made some of my best friends through the women that come to the event. My mum's made best friends through mums that have brought daughters. Friends from dance college that maybe struggled with confidence too get involved, and they're my angels that help assist me teach the routines. And it's just a massive community of positive energy, and just it's so beautiful to witness women, what we say is women walk in shy and leave on a high, and that just explains it to a T, and it's just something that I'm so grateful for.
What an incredible thing, you know. And isn't it amazing how from one sort of comment and conversation with your nana, a year later there you are, you know, with this event and creating this amazing thing. And yeah, I think it's just hugely powerful, isn't it? And also just doing something fantastic for the hospice and raising awareness for charities as well. So yeah, it can be incredible, isn't it? How from a really painful situation, you know, you've got this really wonderful foundation that is now spreading to so many people.
Oh, thank you. I love it. And if I could do Stay Sassy every day, I absolutely would. It's just the one thing that fills me with so much joy. Yeah, I just absolutely love it.
We're going to move into some questions from the children at Children's Bereavement Charity, Winston's Wish. And they would like to know, how do you make yourself feel happy when you're feeling sad?
This is such a good question, because I think it depends on what I'm sad about or how long I've been sad for, if that makes sense. So one thing I always do is I always want to face the feelings that I'm feeling. I don't want to push them away and just cover it up, because I think that just adds to the problem and the sadness, and that will bubble up eventually when I'm not prepared for it. So if I do feel those moments of sadness, I am such an emotional person. I am such a crier, whether I'm happy, excited, sad. So I just have to sit in that sadness for a little while and cry it out. But I have the most amazing support around me with my family and my friends. So I know that they won't let me wallow in that sadness for too long. So once I've cried it out, I then try and do something creative. So I am a massive fan of writing poetry, and it, especially when I'm sad, it flows out so naturally. I just kind of put all my thoughts on paper. So whether it's journaling in prose or if it's just journaling in general, I honestly think that writing it out makes you feel like a load has been lifted and like you've almost shared something. And I think if, for example, it's me being sad about a loved one or being in grief or something like that, I love sitting with someone else and sharing pure happy memories about that person. And just, I really think that stories keep a person alive. So I think if I'm feeling sad in the sense of grief, then talking about the happy memories and keeping those at the front of my brain definitely helps.
Yeah, they're really amazing points, because just being creative, whether it's writing, drawing, singing, anything, you know, like that, it's just amazing to sort of, you know, feels like you've released.
Yeah, I think when my granddad died as well, I'd recently got a guitar because I'd always wanted to learn how to play the guitar, and I just told myself I didn't have time. But when my granddad passed away and I kind of had a few days off from work, I picked up the guitar and could not put it down. And that was my escape. And it was just something so creative. And I was so bad to begin with, but it was just so much fun and really, really helped with the process, I think.
Yeah, music's great. And moving on to music, what piece of music reminds you of your grandparents?
Well, with my nan, there's a song called Just the Two of Us. And there's a video of me and her one Christmas, and we're both singing along to that song and we're giggling. And that definitely reminds me of her. And if ever I hear that song, I feel like it's a sign. And then there was a beautiful moment with my granddad, and it's been proven that familiar music can bring back memories to those suffering with dementia or Alzheimer's. And my boyfriend was on the piano, and my granddad loved jazz music and swing and everything like that. And my boyfriend started playing Fly Me to the Moon by Frank Sinatra. And my granddad came to where the piano was, and he started dancing with my mum. And then after the song had finished, he shared two stories and memories of when he used to go to swing jazz clubs that my mum and I have not heard for years. And that was kind of such a magical moment involving music. So Fly Me to the Moon is one of my favourite songs now.
What an incredible moment.
Yeah, it was really special.
Yeah. Okay, the next one is, what do you do to remember your grandparents on important days like their birthdays?
I think it goes back to talking about happy memories again. So my nan had these things that we called Betty-isms. So her name was Betty and she just lived off her own clock. She had her own rules. And we just kind of talk about those and say I'm with my family, we'll go around the table and share our favourite memory with her. And I know we'll do the same on my granddad's birthday as well.
That sounds great. Anything like that is amazing, isn't it? However you spend the day, you know, basically. Okay, next one is, what three things are you most thankful for at the moment?
I think lockdown has really made me readjust and value things that are a lot simpler than I probably would have answered this question a few months ago. But three things that I'm really grateful for is just kind of the support and love that surrounds me. So my family and friends, my boyfriend, my friends that I class as family, and just really being held and supported by them. I'm grateful for that every day. And I know that wherever I am, whatever I'm going through, I always have someone I can turn to listen. Another thing is having outdoor space. Having a garden. We live close to the countryside, so there's a woods near us that mum and I go to. It's mum's safe haven. We can literally go to the woods and scream and shout and release any kind of emotion. So I'm really, really grateful for outdoor space. And one thing that's come from lockdown that has been amazing is we've had quite a full house. So my brother moved home. We have a friend of mine staying with us, my mum, my dad, myself and my boyfriend, and every night we sit and have dinner together, which usually was a luxury that would happen at Christmas. So pretty much every night throughout lockdown we've had dinner together, and that's been really special.
They're amazing three things. I love the fact that those things that we wouldn't normally be able to do, we've been able to do, you know. And even I can kind of relate to that in terms of, even though I've got young children, just being able to sit there at the table at 6 o'clock or whenever it is and just have dinner together. It's really special. Okay, my last question or point is, and it is a bit of a big one, but if you could sit down with your grandparents for one final time, what do you think you might like to say to them?
Oh, the first thing I'd say is just how much I love them and how grateful I am for everything that they've taught me. And just really, really, really show them how much I love them and share some of the happy memories that have kind of made me the person I am today because of them. And yeah, just give them one last hug.
That's beautiful. I think that's, you know, for everyone that I always speak to on this podcast, you know, telling them that I love them, that's just the biggest thing in the world, isn't it? But Steph, I just want to say a huge thank you for speaking with me today and taking the opportunity to, you know, to sit down out of your busy schedule and just sharing your story with my listeners, because it's a lovely story and I'm so pleased that I've been able to speak to somebody about their grandparents. And so thank you so much.
Thank you so much for asking me to be involved, and I really hope that it helps anyone who's listening.